This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support. It's a good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Busy show on tap after a weekend of Mayweather and McGregor and the Diamondbacks doing very, very well. We have Norm Fraunheim with us, one of the best in the business and when it comes to the sport in the ring, 15rounds.com, Norm Fraunheim. Norm was with the Republic for many, many years. Covering boxing, he and I had been in Vegas many times watching the Sweet Science, and over the weekend, was it a step forward, was it a step back? He was there for the McGregor-Mayweather fight. We'll talk with Norm coming up at 10:20. The professor is with us today, Paula Bovin. Paula will weigh in on Mayweather-McGregor. Also, I saw Paula talk to John Wilner. John Wilner is one of those people, if you have not followed John and you're a college football fan of the Pac-12, John has the Wilner Hotline. He's with the San Jose Mercury News. But online, his content is really good and really strong. So he went and surveyed some people that do not work for the Pac-12, that do not write for newspapers within the Pac-12, that do not have an agenda, that can just say what they think. And one of the people he interviewed was Paula about the Pac-12 network, and she gave it a C+, one of the lower grades of the people that he spoke with. So I want to talk to Paula about that with the opening week here for Todd Graham and Rich Rodriguez. And we'll talk with Paula about that and some other things that happened over the weekend, primarily Diamondbacks. I really don't care about the Cardinals outside of John Brown catching a couple of touchdowns and Carson Palmer getting off the field healthy and David Johnson getting off the field healthy too. Outside, and Tyrann Mathieu having an interception. I mean, if you're coming here for me to break down preseason football, this is not the place. I don't care about fake football in August. When Julian Edelman goes down grabbing his knee, it just tells you another person, another player. When the Bears lose one of their best receivers, and every Monday in August, you just look at it and say, here's another guy that's wiped out in the workforce. It's the most inane, most asinine way of going about business. So I don't care. I don't care about their last preseason game. None of that stuff matters to me. Am I interested if Chris Johnson makes a team or not? Possibly. But let me tell you something. If Kerwin Williams is carrying the ball a ton this year, it doesn't mean they're having a good season. Not going to happen. I feel much better now. I had a personal thing that happened over the weekend. And those of you that have watched us through the years know that sometimes my stuff, because all of us have stuff. If you're sitting there saying, I got it all figured out, the only thing that matters to me is my fantasy football draft, I'd say you need to go on a date. I watched all the preseason football. I can recite every fourth stringer on the Bengals and Redskins. You need to go on a run. I watched Tennessee play the Bears because I'm a big Bears fan, and I watched the whole game. That's 3.5 hours of fake football you're never going to get back. After Trubisky left the field, you go for a run. Do something. Do anything. Oh, you're no fun. You're right. I'm not no fun. So Saturday morning, it's a great sports weekend, right? We got the fight. Diamondbacks are playing well, finally figuring it out. And I have a Greek wedding to go to on Saturday night. I'm looking forward to the weekend. Friday night, I go see a future, probably NFL quarterback play for about two quarters in person, Spencer Rattler. It was just like, it was like a 30-year-old against 12-year-olds out there. He's progressing from first read, second read, third read. It wasn't fun after a while. But I get my wife gets a phone call at 6:20 on Saturday morning. And it's our daughter, and I can hear our daughter is a senior in college. She is on a soccer scholarship. And she has already had one torn ACL, and I hear the sound in her voice on the other end of the phone crying. And my wife is trying to calm her down, and I'm thinking all sorts of bad, bad things. And the last thing that I thought I'd hear is, I tore my ACL again and my career is over. And I tore my meniscus and my career is over. But that is what she was telling my wife at 6:20 in the morning. Those of you that don't have kids, probably not going to get this. Those of you that played sports, you're going to get it. That there's a day where it all comes to an end. Sometimes it comes to an end in a great way. You walk off the basketball court in high school and all your friends, all your buddies, you go to the team banquet and coach gives you most improved and you get some pizza and you graduate high school and you just move on. That's part of your life. That's cool. Me, it's since she's been five, she's been doing this club soccer thing. Other than about 6 months where I said, being an idiot, well, you're a good enough athlete. Why don't we just ditch club soccer and let's try you at basketball? I'll coach the team. And I think she might have wanted to punch me out a few times as her coach. But I was there with her when she got contacted by colleges. We sat together at a restaurant in Chandler, and she signed the paperwork to go to college. We sat together on the plane where she cried her eyes out the whole way back there. And she didn't want to go at the last minute. And she went, and she's met friends that will be with her the rest of her life. She might have met the guy. I don't know. But when you, and it's her senior year and she's already torn it once. Those of you that have had injuries, especially ACLs, you know how difficult it can be to come back from those. So when I'm hearing all this with my wife and her, and I didn't speak to her. She was so emotional. She was at the doctor's office. The doctor said, your meniscus is torn. Your ACL is torn. She's a senior. You could say medical redshirt year. I would say to you, she wants to be a neurologist. It's an NAI program. It's over. So when that hits you, there's that moment of, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing Oregon State play Colorado State. No. Kind of went out the window. Well, you know, I'll catch some of the Cardinals game before I go to this Greek wedding. No. We went to the Greek wedding, and finally I just let loose like I was, not in a bad way. I didn't get blitzed or anything, but it's, and that's not even bad sometimes. But it was just one of those moments, guys, where... And I might say, guys, ladies, gentlemen, it's one of those times where when you do this and you're living life and everything else just stops. I didn't really care about Mayweather McGregor, and I knew I needed to doing this job. I put something up on Facebook, and one of my daughters, my other daughter, sent me a note. She said, that's pretty ballsy that you're just saying you don't care about sports today when you own a sports company. I was like, no, it's true. There's days where I think our little community here, our little staff here, there's days where they probably, where we all are kind of like, wow, I'd kind of like to be at the beach today, or I'd kind of like to be with my dogs today, or I'd kind of like to do this today or that today. So when life does get in the way, I think being transparent to you guys, I kind of checked out this weekend. I got back into it yesterday. I had to get on my game. You know, I've not talked with her because she has so many people reaching out to her, and she put a cool post up on Facebook. I'm obviously very proud, a proud dad. But there are those moments when things come along, and I'm seeing what's going on in Houston too. And how does that not depress you? How does that not make you just say, my gosh, what can I do to help? You know, what can I do? So I had a couple things happen this weekend. Yeah, I watched the Cardinal game back last night, and you know, it's what it is what it is. It's in front of half empty stadium and trying to get people excited about that stuff. No, just get me to Detroit, please. I don't care. I did watch a little bit yesterday of Spieth against Dustin Johnson. That was really cool. And you can find places to watch the fight back. Our initial plan was to go to the Greek wedding, go get crazy, and then go find a place and check out the fight. And we were just kind of like, nah. But I've seen enough clips now, and I'll have Norm Fraunheim here in a couple minutes. And Norm will fill in the blanks, because I'm interested as what does this do to the sport? And what I mean that, both sides. What does this do for boxing? What does this do for MMA? What happens to Conor McGregor? Is there somebody out there for Floyd Mayweather? If I got to get excited about Canelo Alvarez, I don't know if that does anything for the sports. We'll talk with Norm on the other side. There's also this Cavaliers-Celtics trade. Vontaze is back in the news. Those of you that have watched for the years know that my guy Vontaze, if somebody, anybody at ASU would have just stepped in and said, this type of behavior is unacceptable and you're going to sit down. But nobody did. He was enabled in college, and what do you know? He continues to act out here professionally, but oh, you just don't know his backstory. No, I know somebody needed to step in, and nobody did at Arizona State. Nobody did. And the baseball team is awesome. I mean, yesterday, how do you not like yesterday? They've won four in a row. They have the Dodgers here tomorrow night. Norm Fraunheim on the other side. All things around McGregor and Mayweather, 15rounds.com with the great Norm Fraunheim. I'm Brad Sussmat. So I've worked with, alongside, and have seen guys that I term badasses in the business through the years. Mike Watkus is a badass over at Channel 3. The next voice you're about to hear, in my opinion, is a badass because he's just really good. Norm Fraunheim, longtime boxing writer, just a great author in general. 15rounds.com. 15rounds.com. When I say boxing writer, he is multifaceted, multi-talented, can write about just about anything. And he was there for McGregor and Mayweather the other night. He joins us for a few minutes. It's good to have you on board. How are you?
Hey, Brad. Just one badass to another one, I guess.
Thanks. Okay, let's start out with this. Robert Byrd, did he do the right thing in stopping the fight, the ruling TKO?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it was, you know, it was really over the round before. But I give McGregor for finishing out on his feet, and maybe he would have been standing up for a couple more rounds. But, you know, there had been concern before the fight in a New York Times story about the glove issue and the rest of it. And I think that was in the back of some people's minds with the Nevada Commission. And the fight was over at that point. You could argue that it was beginning to unravel by at least the eighth round. So, yeah, he made the right decision. I know Conor McGregor, you know, wanted to continue, and I applaud him for that. But I also applaud Robert Byrd for doing what he did. I mean, those guys are supposed to rule on the safe, on behalf of the safety of the fighters, and that's what he did.
Norm Frontheim, 15rounds.com. Okay, big arching overview, and this is somewhat of a softball then for you to hit out of the park. What's your biggest takeaway from this over the weekend, Norm?
I went in thinking it was a farce, thinking it was, you know, it would end in a disqualification. I went to cover it as a kind of a cultural event, but it turned into a little bit more of a fight, more because of what Mayweather did. I think that there, you know, for those of us.
Oh, Norm's phone. Norm, your phone is, you're fading out. You there, Norm?
Yeah,
you faded out.
I'm there.
Good, keep going. Your phone faded out. Keep going.
Okay, and I just think that, so it was a little bit more of a fight. I think people liked it, you know, but it was sort of an event, you know, a to-be-seen kind of event, you know. And the celebrities showed up in great numbers, and but it didn't have the same boxing feel that, you know, it didn't have that kind of buzz. And it was a moneymaker. It was created to make money, and it did. So that's what it was.
Okay, is this a one-off in your view, or are we going to see more of these types of events?
I think we're going to see a few of these, certainly not at this level. They'll be hard to do. I think Dana White doesn't want to do any more of them because, you know, he has pretty tight control over the UFC in terms of what those guys make and all the rest. But I think those UFC guys are going to look at this and say, you know, I can make a lot more money in the boxing, you know, if I try boxing. And there's an interesting reason for that. It's because of the Muhammad Ali legislation, which John McCain was the author of back in the 80s, but it applies only to boxers, and as a result, they make a lot more money than the MMA guys because the UFC is not subject to that act. For instance, there was some talk that Conor McGregor would fight Paulie Malignaggi next. Now, you know, maybe you got a lot of people don't know Paulie Malignaggi. He's an ex-fighter, and he was McGregor's sparring partner, and they had a tiff, so there's some tension there. So I could see that happen, but nothing at the level of what we just saw. And part of that is because Conor McGregor's a great salesman. And I think Floyd actually liked the guy because he literally talked his way, you know, into this thing and turned it into an international event. There were some racial aspects about it that bothered me. But they managed to keep that, you know, that part of it, kept the tone of it down. I didn't like the posters, for instance. If you looked at the posters, you know, it was the black-white thing, clearly.
Yeah.
It was the black border on with Floyd on one side and the white border with McGregor on the other. But given what's going on in this country right now, you know, and I don't want to get too political about it, but it all looks silly in retrospect, so they backed that off. But I do think that there was some of that going on. But in the end, only one color mattered here, and it was green.
Well, let me follow you up on that. When we're talking for the audience that doesn't know, the Conor McGregor, the amount of money he made in the ring, I thought it was really interesting when the fight was over in the post-press conference when Mayweather said to him, just kind of whispered over, the money is the big difference here. What type of money did McGregor walk out of there making versus what he makes as an MMA fighter? And I think anybody who's going to defend the MMA side is going to say, okay, I had no idea. So what are we talking about here money-wise, Norm?
Well, his guarantee was $100 million. And I mean, I heard that was as much as he made in, I don't know how many UFC fights, but I think it goes into the double figures. So I mean, you know, it's that's extraordinary when you look at it.
Talking with Norm Frohnheim, 15rounds.com. So Mayweather is done. Never again. You never say that in boxing. You know it. I know it. But I trust you. Is he done?
I think so, yeah. I mean, you know, I know there are a lot of people. I've had some disagreements with my friends on this. Dylan Hernandez, who's a good friend of mine, a lot of times.
Yep, think, yep.
But we're gonna see Floyd in the cage, you know, 5-6 years from now, because he'll run out of money. I think it'd be very hard to run out of money. But that said, you know, he has had some tax problems, and he's been selling off some assets, cars and et cetera. And, you know, there's not really a clear answer as to why that is. We all know he gambles. You know, there's these issues with women. So I don't believe it. I think he's done. Certainly, he couldn't beat. There's a whole lot of guys he couldn't beat in boxing right now.
Canelo Alvarez. If he lines up across from Canelo Alvarez, Canelo Alvarez destroys him, right?
Right now, Canelo kills him. Yeah. Because Canelo has gotten really, really good. But there's another guy that the non-boxing person doesn't know, but there's Terrence Crawford, who might be as good as anybody, who would destroy him, I think. So, I mean, his feet don't move. He's tentative. He's always been all of those things. And if you look at his career long-term, I think he might go down as a TBE, as he say, one of the best ever, at 130 pounds. Mm-hmm. But he's never been that since he went to 140, 147 to 154, because his feet just don't move anymore. And I said, you know what, he seems to know that. You know, he's 40 years old now, and there appears to be that acknowledgement, like, I can't do this much longer. And I was surprised, by the way, by how tentative he was early, and how he just couldn't. You know, I mean, Conor McGregor's a good guy. He's got a fighter's heart, a fighter's spirit. But he looked like a guy in his stance and stuff, like one of those old-time fighters. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, sure, sure.
About 1900 or something, the way his stance was. And he clearly practiced his jab and stuff, but by two rounds afterwards, he couldn't do it anymore. Floyd just couldn't do anything about it. That bothered me, or didn't do anything about it.
So one last question on this. So you're at 15rounds.com.
I was working for The Ring on this too, so I'm actually doing this long 2,500 word piece that I have to get done for tomorrow on that one. But
all right, so overarching on this one from this standpoint, what was the arena like? What was the web traffic like? What was the buy pay-per-view like from what you've heard? What I'm getting at is, was this really the big event? Because you know and I know, sometimes the fight game can make it sound huge, and it's not. Was this sold out? Was there big traffic? Were there big buys? What do you know 48 hours afterwards?
The traffic, web traffic, were huge. And the indications are that it'll set a pay-per-view record. You know, I'm hearing in the 5 million range. What that means, I'm not sure, because what they did is it was available everywhere.
Right.
You know, you name the device, you could get it. So whether it will do the percentage of buys of the available universe that Pacquiao did, as I'm not sure, and I'm not sure we'll ever get a Pacquiao made, I'm not sure we'll get an adequate answer to that. I think the only real losers in this whole event were the ticket brokers.
Okay.
They got hammered, because I think the paid attendance was about 14,000. The place was full. There was about 20, but they were turning back tickets to the box office, to the MGM Grand, for the last 24 hours, 48 hours before opening bell, because people weren't going to pay the $10,000. They were trying to sell them at half price, whatever price they could get. So my guess is there was almost a giveaway on 6,000 of those tickets, but the other tickets were priced so high that they did about an $80 million gate, live gate, which sets the record.
Sure.
But they got greedy. You know, they just got greedy. I mean, most of the MMA crowd are younger people. They don't have the kind of money where they could spend to go to that fight.
Right.
They couldn't get in there. They couldn't afford it. So some of the boxing crowd could afford it, but they were smart enough to know what it was, so they weren't going to spend $10,000 to go in there. So that's, you know, and so the Mayweather people are dancing around about that, but they got caught, you know, they got in their own greed, and so be it. You know, they still made a lot of money.
Well, I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and your insight. Good to hear your voice. I hope all is well on your end. Stay in touch.
Oh, you too, Brad. Take care.
You got it. There's Norm Fraunheim, 15rounds.com in the ring. The author of The Ring checks in on Mayweather and McGregor. Paula Bovin, the professor, is next on a Monday. I'm Brad Sussmat. From one badass in Norm Fraunheim to another, Paula Bovin. That's pretty good, I think. That's a great introduction. The professor is with us now as we go through the Monday show. How are you?
I think I'm going to put that on my title on the Cronkite website.
Badass.
Badass. I like it, yeah.
Well, you know, Norm, if there's anybody better than Mayweather McGregor to have on a Monday than Norm, introduce him to me. We had Al Bernstein. He was fine, but I'll take Norm all day long.
Yeah, no kidding. He knows everything. He's great.
Okay, so do you want to play the game, yes or no? College football, yes or no? Ready to play it, Professor?
Yes. Oh, my God. Yes, please.
Arizona State will win more than 7 games this year in football starting this week with New Mexico State. Yes or no?
Yes.
I disagree with you.
I know. Most people do.
You see 7 wins.
I do. That was sort of the number that I predicted. You know why, Brad? It's because this team always, when nobody expects anything from them, usually delivers. It's just where, and I think with Graham on the hot seat, I think he is motivated. You know, if that translates to wins, we'll see. But I just have a feeling they're going to surprise people.
Manny Wilkins will be the quarterback for the U of A game this year for Arizona State. Yes or no?
No.
Who will be?
No, I just feel like they have not, he's not made the convincing argument. And I know there have been injuries, and I know there's been other stuff going on. The talent around him hasn't always been the best, but I just have a feeling we're going to see a change pretty quickly.
You think it'll be Blake Barnett pretty quickly? So by the Pac-12 opener against the Ducks?
Yeah, yes. That's exactly what I think will happen. And, you know, again, I think Manny has a lot of talent, but I thought there were opportunities for him to rise to the occasion, and he didn't. And so I think we're going to see a quarterback change by the start of the conference.
Rich Rodriguez will be coaching against Arizona State at the end of this year and still be the coach in title. Yes or no?
Yes, no question in my mind. I think that, you know, it is a tough place to win down there. I've done it occasionally, but it is a basketball school. I think they accept that. I think, you know, despite what's happened with the program, you know, that they, especially early on, not having the amount of wins that they wanted, that they are happy with the direction. And while they have struggled with recruiting, I think Rodriguez has demonstrated the coaching chops that he has shown in the past. So he just needs to find the players, and I think he's starting to do that a little bit better.
Yes or no, Todd Graham will be coaching against U of A, and he will know that he is safe for another year.
That's a tough one, Brad, but because I have them with at least 7 wins, but I think Graham is motivated, I think he'll be here. And I know a lot of people disagree with me on that one, you probably being among them.
Yes,
I do not sense a very tight-knit relationship with the athletic director, but I think that this is also a school that is not, you know, overly fond of changing coaches. They believe in a little bit of longevity. So, I just think they're going to be more successful than people thought, you know, with these great new digs that they've got, enhanced facility. I think the recruiting is going to step up. And I am going against the odds, Brad, and I'm saying Graham will be here.
I'm calling that he will know that he is not the coach, and he may be removed before the U of A game. That is my call.
Wow.
It won't come down to, well, let's just address all this afterwards. I think that the way that Ray and also Michael Crow have handled this here in the offseason with their words, they haven't been soft, right?
No, not at all.
And so it leads me to believe that they're going to, by mid-October, they could be one of those schools that pulls the ripcord very early. And I could be wrong on this. It's fine, and Todd can have it out and make little comments. It's fine. But I think he's going to have his ticket punched before they play the U of A, so I'm calling that he will not coach in the U of A game. That is my call coming into the season.
Well, and I hear people with a lot of similar thoughts. Let me ask you a question, Brad, if I could.
Can we play yes or no? Can we play yes or no on this? All right.
Yes,
go ahead.
Yes or no.
All right.
When you talk to boosters, and you talk to a lot of them, I know, generally they are very unhappy with Graham. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I sense that.
Do you want the emphasis? They are bored with Graham.
Bored. Yeah. That's what I was going to ask you. It's just they feel like what the team isn't dynamic enough. That they obviously haven't won enough. All the above.
Okay. You and I are sitting. No. This is yes. You and I are sitting. Where we sat. We've sat in Portland, and we've sat at a table, and we've sat there for a couple of hours, and we've talked about solving all the ills. Right.
We've done
that. And
yes, we have.
And so the ills around Arizona State are this. It is a mirage. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks great on the outside, and there are also big cigar boosters, and some of them have moved on. Some of them are getting very late in life. But even the new blood that's starting to come in, there is always a feel of, we need more from you, rather than, hey, it's great you're here, enjoy your day. So,
right.
So always being hit up to open a checkbook, and the team isn't playing well, and the whole arms race thing, they've heard that. You know, they heard that with basketball. When basketball, how old is the Weather Up Center now? I don't know, 8 years, 10 years, 7 years? I'm not quite sure. But now they're being hit over the head about, we got to redo the basketball arena, Wells Fargo, which they do need to do.
Sure.
I think there's just fatigue. How's that for yes or no? Long answer. But.
Yeah. Financial fatigue, I could certainly see that, because they have been hit up for a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, they also let things go, I think, for a while, and things needed to be done. So that's part of it, too. You know, I mean, really, it is a flip of the coin situation, I think, with Graham and what's going to happen. But I am just going with my sort of gut feeling that they seem to do better when the expectations are low.
Yes or no, you're going to miss sitting in a press box against New Mexico State at midnight, still riding away. Yes or no? Truth serum, yes or no?
Truth serum, I am not going to miss. That was the hardest part of my job for years, was those ASU football games, trying to craft a column on a game that ended at 11, Brad.
Yeah.
and the story had to be turned in at 10:15. It was a challenge, and I do not miss that part. But I'll miss hanging with my peeps in the press box, no question about it.
Okay, give the fans an idea here on this deal. This is your first time not being a college, or not just college football. You're much more you're much better than that. Nothing against college football, but this is your first time not being a columnist or sitting in press boxes in many, many, many years. You know. And so are you going to be – you're overseeing this whole side of Cronkite at Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
Have you told these kids, like when I'm in front of them, I say, if I see any of you do pitchfork and put it on Instagram, I'm going to fail you. You know,
that's not
what you're there for. It's not that you're on the sideline at Utah saying, look at how cool I am. Are you going to work with these kids at games, or are we going to see you at games?
No, well, yeah, I mean, I'll be at some games. I've been going to some Diamondbacks lately, helping some of our writers kind of get situated, and I will definitely come to, because I love college football, so I'll definitely come to ASU games. But the lessons we're teaching, and you know, Brad, this is a very important time for journalism in general, of getting the message right, not right. just obviously sports, but in the world. Yeah. And so the one you're talking about, you are not an ASU fan right now. You are not wearing that ASU polo. We've had to have a few remove their ASU polos. You're not going to practice wearing that polo. You are going to dress nice and raise the bar of sports journalists and how they look in the press box.
Yes.
You know, and the objectivity, and Cronkite takes that very seriously. Like, literally 5 minutes ago, two of our Beer students were going to go over to Sun Devil Stadium. They're going to reveal a scoreboard, and they were going to do some social media about it. These two happen to be interns in the sports media relations department. We had to tell them, no, you can't do that. You cannot tweet about that scoreboard. So, yeah, we're very serious.
No, I appreciate that. Okay, so you mentioned the baseball team. We actually have a team that I think, and now the Giants stink, I get that, but they're and the Mets were awful. They're trying to get to that 1st of September, you know, the Labor Day, a week from today. If they're still there, then the finish line, you can see it. The dog days are almost over. Do you think they play with both hands around a bat or both hands around their necks here?
No, I think I think we learned a lot from this team in the past week. There was a real potential for them to fold, and I hate to use that word. I just can't think of a better one right now. But they were in a bad place, Brad. I mean, the amount of games they were losing. But they have gotten some important victories. They have come from behind and in some important games. Now, obviously, they're not catching the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they're, what, freaking 91 games? Is that right that they won?
Yeah.
But you know what?
Freaking,
70,
yes.
Yeah, it's crazy. But 73 victories, whatever they are at, is pretty darn good, and they still have hold of that wild card number one spot. Now, I know, don't they? They have a week coming up where they play the Rockies a bunch of times. That's going to be really interesting, but I think they're in a good place, Brad.
All right. I'll let you go off that. Stay well. Appreciate the time and the insight. Good stuff. I like playing yes or no with you, so there
yeah,
you go.
That was fun. You got me fired up. Okay.
See
you.
Bye. It's Paula Bovin. The other day I'm at Cronkite, and she comes in. I go there Mondays and Wednesdays for an hour and 15 minutes and just rail on these poor kids. And she comes in afterwards. And it's so cool to talk to someone who actually still has their chops and their ethics. And, for some of you, you're all wound up in the fake news stuff. But like I see things going on down in Houston that make the industry, it's still a great industry to be in. It is. There's people that are human and are helping out. Someone's on the air live and they flag down police to point to a guy in a truck who's underwater, you know, saves a life. So people are like, oh, you guys don't do anything worthwhile. No, go find a different channel. Eric put up a picture of those Diamondback uniforms. I have to weigh in on those, and I'm going to do that. It's not going to be pretty. And a few other things before we get out of here. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sussmat. So this is a big week. Obviously, for the Diamondbacks, they have the Dodgers in for three. They're not going to catch the Dodgers, but they're catching a break, I think. They are not going to face Darvish, and they're not going to face Kershaw. Kershaw's not back off the DL yet. Darvish pitched over the weekend against Milwaukee. The Diamondbacks are up a game and a half over Colorado, and as Paula referred to, there's going to be, a couple of weeks, the Diamondbacks and Rockies are going to be playing each other six times. So there's a lot left there. And you have Milwaukee and the Cardinals tomorrow, and the Rockies hosting Detroit. So every day is going to be scoreboard watching day. Eric, are you finding yourself checking into the scores of other teams now? Are you at that level of excitement yet?
I am. Yeah? I am, because it is a bottleneck of two or three teams, and there's only two spots. And it'd be ideal if the Diamondbacks were to get the wild card, would be to get the number one wild card, so they would have to host.
Is it wrong that I'm cheering?
No.
I mean, you're supposed to be objective
here.
Well,
and you're not a big rah-rah
no.
cheer guy.
No.
But when
I am with what we do here.
But when it's almost September and the Diamondbacks are still in the race.
Yes.
When was the last time it was almost September, and the Diamondbacks were in the race? Correct.
11?
The year we started this company.
Yes.
1904.
That sounds about right. Some days it feels like 1904.
Some days it feels like 1903.
But some days it feels like, well, 2017.
There you go.
How's that?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it.
Did you like their uniforms they wore over the weekend?
Not particularly.
What was the deal?
I didn't really like the nicknames. It's just not baseball. Like, baseball, I get it. Like, okay, cool. Baseball's trying to be more hip, trying to be more trendy. But this just, I don't know. It was all right, I guess.
Just win, right?
Yeah, and they have. I mean, they're a very exciting team to watch.
Because, you know, if they didn't win, we'd be sitting there crushing them today, saying, you guys put these goofy names on your uniforms.
Well, not, it wasn't
you wore
just
these
them.
Pajamas that looked like they were bought at a swap meet in Apache Junction. You know, I mean, that's not what I want.
And what's
look
been,
at those things.
Brad, what's been the key ingredient in past Diamondback seasons? Lots of gimmicks, not a lot of wins. This season, less gimmicks, more wins.
But this is the gimmick by MLB.
This is.
Not the Diamondbacks
this
as
is.
Much. The gimmicks by the Diamondbacks, there haven't been as many. And maybe we're just not crabby and grumpy because summer went by with a team that was actually gave us something to be interested in.
Going out and getting a player like J.D. Martinez?
Yeah.
Yep, we're going to go after this.
He's an all-or-nothing guy, though.
He is.
He's an all... It makes me wonder, like, Pedro was with us a couple weeks ago. I still have to write about that. Pedro thinks that he's going to give them a real good shot at coming back here. And while I like watching him, I don't like the all-or-nothing part of it. You know, yesterday's fine. Yesterday, he was all. What's he going to do here in the last month of the season? And Patrick Corbin's turning he's fun to watch now. He was maddening for a while.
Taiwan Walker pitched well over the weekend, too?
Yeah. Did you see the fight?
I did not.
Yeah.
I followed it on Twitter, and I went back and watched it on YouTube. I watched, like, the 10th round on YouTube.
Do you think Graham's going to make it through the year coaching? Am I just full of it?
Making it through the year, yes. Will he be the coach in 2018? I would say no.
Yeah.
I think Paul is a little bit far-fetched with that 7 wins. She may want to go back and check the schedule.
I don't. Yeah, I mean,
starting
a
week
it.
From Saturday against the San Diego State team that is getting votes in the top 25.
So Oregon State lost Colorado State. I know that much. Did you see any of that?
I did. It's just not. It's the first game of the year. Colorado State opened a new stadium. It wasn't that shocking to me.
Yeah.
I think Oregon State. If you had told me before the game that Oregon State would have lost that badly, I would have been surprised. But.
There's a lot of Arizona angles on that Oregon State team.
There are. This is the week, though. I mean, I dabbled in some games over the weekend and watched I watched a little bit of Stanford Rice. That was a complete mismatch.
Yeah, that wasn't worth it.
But this weekend is, you know, you've got Florida State playing some team called Alabama. There's a bunch of good games. A&M's playing UCLA.
Yeah. So I watched Vontaze, and I think of all the players, you and I have been together off and on. Mostly on for north of 20 years now. Right?
Yep.
Thereabouts.
Yep.
Yeah, about 18 to 20 years. Can you think of a player I'm more agitated with through the years? And it's not just the player. Like, every time I'm agitated, that whole Dennis Erickson team, if you think about it, the way Brock Osweiler handled that deal was bad. Vontaze, that was bad. That was Vontaze was worse than Osweiler. And for you guys that are ASU homers, I mean, come on. You cannot tell me with a straight face, boy, it was great what Vontaze is doing and throw up a pitchfork. The stuff at Washington, the stuff last week, it's a total cheap shot.
Well, I mean, yesterday, did you see what happens?
Yeah,
steps goes in front of the Kirk Cousins pass, returns for a touchdown, goes into the stands.
Yep.
And then two series later, he's out and he's hurt and he's in. Concussion protocol.
He's a concussion protocol.
That sort of just sums up Vontaze perfect.
It's maddening with him. And so the Cardinals, I did watch it back. There's nothing there to get me that excited outside of John Brown and Tyrann Mathieu. I was excited that Carson got off the field in one piece, and I was excited to see David Johnson not be out on the field much. But Tyrann went out and did his thing. And for John Brown, look, I know I rail on preseason. I rail on five of these things, four of these things. Give me one, two at the max, so every week it's not turning into a mash unit and there's there's high-quality players that are not out on the field. For John Brown to go catch a couple touchdown passes in a who-cares deal in August, there is some value there. But he doesn't need to play this week. None of those guys need to play this week. And any of you that are going to make plans to watch this stuff this week, really? I don't know, go donate time to charity. Do something. Do anything than watch preseason football. Do not give into that stuff. Because eventually, I'm starting to see more and more empty stadiums. Eventually, I would think somebody somewhere will be sane enough to say, why are we killing off our players and hurting our valued commodities in August? So there's no Diamondbacks tonight. The Cavaliers-Celtics trade is what I'm going to be most interested in today. That's got to step forward here a little bit, because what if it does blow up? Is there something that happens back here in Phoenix? I'm not saying it's going to, but clearly the Isaiah Thomas health situation is an issue. Is it just a matter of swapping another player? Does this thing get really nasty? So as today progresses, what happens with Cleveland and Kyrie and Boston? To me, really interesting stuff. And that's that. Jared Nielsen's our chairman of the board, the Iron Man. Eric, as always, is here getting it done. Very well done. Very, very good job today. And appreciate our guests. Appreciate you for being with us. There's plenty of content over on our website that you can check out at sports360az.com. Enjoy your Monday. Thanks for checking out this podcast on sports360az.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.